Hello, welcome back to Coach Enya Below the Bear podcast. So I am 7 weeks, well, this is the start of the seventh week into my 14-week deficit. So I think obviously to start a week 8 will be halfway through basically. And remember the first 2 weeks, I wasn't actually in a calorie deficit. I was eating at maintenance calories. So this week was obviously a bit of a roller coaster. Menstrual cycle started. I knew that was coming because I was getting PMS. And I was expecting that, and I was hoping it wouldn't land close to the half marathon, but it came the day before. It ended up being fine anyway, it wasn't too bad, but I was afraid that like I was going to feel very sluggish and, you know, cramps and stuff like that. I just thought it was going to affect me. On run day it didn't, but you know, there was obviously other factors out of my control. I'll get to that now shortly, but yeah, I had my menstrual cycle start this week, then the half marathon, and then obviously I wasn't in a calorie deficit the day before the half marathon because I wanted to get enough carbs into me, carb loading. And then the day of the half marathon, obviously I wasn't in a calorie deficit, and I went out for food that evening afterwards. I shared a pizza and some barbecue bites, which are like boneless bites, is that what they're called? They're like wings, but they don't have bones in them. Yeah, so I shared them rather than like eating one to myself when there's no need. And I had a couple of drinks, which is my first time drinking alcohol on this calorie deficit. So I always say like I rarely ever drink when I'm in a calorie deficit, so that's probably going to be the only time I do that over these 14 weeks, because you know, I was just out with friends celebrating and I just thought, oh, like I'll just let the hair down. I just had a few. I was grand the next day. I just bounced back to normal and I steadied my deficit on the Sunday and I got my step count in, did a bit of stretching and foam rolling both days as well, so the legs weren't too stiff. But the scale is slowly moving downwards now, thankfully, and you know, I'm still hoping to hit that 60 kg, 61 kg range by the end of this. I expect cardio will start to be upped as the weeks go on as well, because my coach didn't want to even decrease my calories from the get-go. But last week at my last check-in, he did say, like, you know, once we get the scale moving, we can increase them slowly again, back to what they were a couple of weeks ago. But yeah, that's yet to be seen. I think sometimes my body just responds to lower food. I've noticed that in the last few calorie deficits, unfortunately. But yeah, I'm still back in a deficit. This week was just obviously a bit rockier than others, due to circumstances that I chose, obviously. I wasn't going to carb load the day before a half marathon, because like some of it, even drink, when it came to drinking water, like, you know, I made sure I had loads of electrolytes the day before the half marathon. And then obviously the morning of, I had an electrolyte with a pint of water. And then I had a 500ml bottle of water before the race started, because I obviously didn't want to keep needing to go to the toilet, because then I'd have to stop during the race. But the amount of people I saw in the last 5 kilometres of that half marathon, you know, panned out on the deck, like some people in wheelchairs with their eyes in the back of their head, like sick beside them on the ground, like just due to underfueling, lack of water, not stopping at the water stations, or not putting in the proper training, probably only did 8K and thought, oh sure, I'll just book this and show up on the day. Or, you know, they got a number at the last minute and, you know, had no training. Again, probably done max 8 to 10K and thought I'll be able for a 21K. And then with that heat on top of it, that was one thing that I didn't anticipate, because you know, I was looking at the weather all week and all I was seeing was gusts of wind. Now Friday was really windy and I was like, oh, like this half marathon's going to be tough with this wind, because when I went out to do my 18 kilometer run, I was fine running out towards Hoth, and then when I came back, obviously the half marathon was on the Clontarf seafront, when I turned back the wind was in my face, and it was tough because you feel like you're running on the spot, you feel like it's nearly the equivalent of running up a hill. That's the type of energy you're exerting when you're running against the wind. But in fairness, though, it actually wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. It definitely wasn't as bad as the 18-kilometer run. The wind on that particular day was very, very strong. But I think obviously having a lot of people in front of you as well, it broke up the wind. But again, wasn't expecting it to be as warm as it was. The sun actually came out and it was beaming down on us for the whole duration of the run. I went with my friend who was running it also, and obviously we're running at different paces, so he was a little bit behind me, so my ear pods wouldn't work at the start of the race. And what had happened was, I don't know how this even bleeding happened, but I have an old pair of ear pods in my house, in my room, in my drawer. And I don't know when this happened, but I just have such bad short-term memory, right? I must have taken the old AirPods out at some stage just to see that they still work or whatever, and left them out on my chest of drawers or whatever. And then, you know, Bobby came back later that day, talked to me on my actual AirPods. And then I think my new ones were in my jacket pocket, because sometimes I don't bring my case out with me. I just put the AirPods in my ear when I'm going out on a walk. And then, you know, I take them out when I come back into the house if someone's talking to me, put them into my pocket. So I obviously put the old AirPods into my new case. Didn't think anything of it. Put them on charge. And then my case, the new AirPods, like, they make this sound if they're not charging properly. But I didn't know that until obviously yesterday. I kept making that noise. I was like, what is that? So anyway, charged them, didn't even bother test them before I went out to the half marathon, just put them in my pocket. And then I went to connect them at the start line and they wouldn't connect. I was like, what is going on here? Like, these aren't even charging. And then it wasn't until I got home then. I was going on a walk the following day and my new AirPods were in my jacket pocket. So yeah, had to run them without, had to run the race without AirPods. I did the Dublin City Marathon one without AirPods. I actually had them on me, but because my friend Lauren was pacing me, you know, she would kind of check in on me every so often. I wanted to just be able to hear her, but it actually wasn't that bad, to be honest. But you are stuck with your own thoughts for the duration. I did it in 2 hours and 6 minutes. You are stuck with your own thoughts. And when the sun was beaming down on me on the way out to Sutton, like, you're going towards Sutton Hoth on the way out on the Clontarf half marathon, it was hard because those voices in your head are like, just screams, they're just screaming at you to stop. Like, this is uncomfortable. Like, just, you know, just stop now. Like, you don't have to do this. Like, look, you've already done a half marathon. Like, that's the type of shit you're saying to yourself, but you just keep moving, you don't stop. And, you know, my pace started to slow down about 8 or 9 kilometres in. Like, I was under the 5:40 and I needed to be under the 5:40 if I wanted to break sub 2. And I slowly started in, my pace slowly started to slow down. And it was just due to the heat. It was like, it wasn't like running in a sauna, but it was like, it was just hard. It was really hard in the heat, I have to say. And, you know, the factors in the Dublin City one were completely different because it was cooler that day. You know, it was the end of March. It wasn't as warm. You know, it was quite cold that morning. I remember I could see my breath when I was breathing. And then obviously I had someone pacing me, so I did feel like I had to work that bit harder. So I came in 2 minutes slower with this half marathon, and then running back, it was a bit cooler. It was actually nice, but the breeze wasn't as strong. But I did stop at 2 water stations. So I walked for about 10 seconds while I was drinking the water. So it did slow me down a bit. But at that stage, lads, I didn't care. I just accepted, right, I'm not going to get the sub 2, but I'm also not going to like throw the towel in and just half-arse the rest of it. So I ran as much as I could with how tired I felt. And, you know, I actually crossed the finish line smiling, and I took my gels. I brought gels with me. Every half hour, I took one at the start, I took one a half hour in, and then right up until the last 20 minutes of the race. Because remember, you shouldn't take a gel. If you don't take gels, this obviously doesn't apply to you. But if you're doing a long run, anything over an hour, and you want to take a gel, don't take one, or don't start taking them when you feel tired, because they take 20 minutes to kick in. So you're going to be tired and then have to wait another 20 minutes. And then, you know, it's nearly pointless. So I took one at the start when I was obviously full of energy. And then when my energy started to fade at that stage, then the gel would start kicking in. And then, yeah, I just kept topping them up and topping them up. Like, the only thing that was affecting me was obviously the heat. And then, you know, my legs started to feel a bit dead. Like, they started to feel quite heavy towards the end. But I still felt like I had energy in me when I was crossing the finish line. And I crossed it smiling. I was able to take it in. Compared to the Dublin City half, I was miserable. Like, I was actually miserable. I thought I was going to be jumping with joy after that because it was my first one. I wasn't. I was just like, oh my God, that was fucking horrible. Like, that was just awful. And, you know, I do feel like I'm fitter. I feel like I fueled better for this one, especially with the gels. I didn't take enough gels during the last half marathon. I only took 3 because I was so tired and so focused on keeping up with my friend that at one stage I was like, I don't even have the energy to take these gels out of my pocket and open these. Like, I just don't want any distractions. I'm miserable here. So that obviously went against me. But no, I was really happy with how well I did. Obviously, I didn't get the sub 2, but it actually is harder than you think. It really is, because I just said it there about the March half that I done. You know, factors change with every race that you do, and sometimes they're out of your control. I've talked to people who've done multiple half marathons, multiple marathons as well, and they also say, like, some days you wake up and the body wants to cooperate and you're cruising your air and, you know, there's nothing that's getting in your way. And then some days you wake up and you go out and do a race and your body's just not given anything to you. You know, you feel like you have to work harder, even though you were hitting your targets in training. You just wake up some days on race day and your body's just in a bit of a funk, and sometimes it's just be out of your control. You've done everything you were supposed to do, you fueled correctly, you put the training in, and some days you just wake up and it's not your day. And I feel like, although I felt like that with the Clontarf one, there was a lot of pros as well. Like, I felt fitter, I enjoyed it more. Yeah, my ear pods didn't work, but it actually didn't affect me, and it was actually nice running by myself as well. You know, being able to take it in, doing something like that by yourself without any music in your ears was also a challenge, and I managed to overcome it. So yeah, there was a lot of pros and cons, but I was still really proud of myself. And you know, I do think being in a calorie deficit for the last 6-7 weeks, well, more like 4 weeks, because again, I was in at maintenance for the first 2 weeks of this. Like, I do think it did affect my energy levels overall. Even throughout the training, although I was hitting my pace targets for the most part, I did find towards the end of my long runs, like, my pace was falling off. Now, is it to do with my calorie deficit? I would say some of it is down to that. You know, obviously I don't have as much energy me on a weekly basis as I would have when I was training for the Dublin half. So I do think that's a factor. However, I don't have any other halves booked now until the September one. That's also the Dublin one. That's in the Phoenix Park. That is mid-September, and I won't be in a calorie deficit when I'm doing that. And I also won't be in a calorie deficit when I am doing the Dublin Marathon, which is in October. But like, I'm still trying not to think about that. I'm actually getting quite freaked out because, you know, how you feel in those last couple of kilometres. Now, look, I've done loads of long runs, but I've never done more than 21 kilometres. But even when I was doing that Clontarf one, because I've done so many long runs up to this point, even though it's been no more than 21, it does get a little bit easier in terms of like the mental side of it, being like, oh my God, 21 kilometres, what the hell, how am I going to do this? Because I've done like 12, 15, 18, like, you know, twice training for the Dublin City one and then this one, it actually didn't feel as daunting doing this half marathon because I've done it before, I've done the long runs, but now I know when I have to start increasing beyond 21 kilometres training for the full one, that is going to be mentally tough, you know, and I need to put obviously the proper training into play. But I am starting to get freaked, like, how the hell am I going to run 2 half marathons in one go? Like, it is overwhelming, but only because I haven't ran longer than 21 kilometres. You wean yourself in, you gradually start increasing the kilometres as time goes on. And, you know, I will be able for it. But do I want to go in for a goal of like sub 4? I mean, look how hard it is to break sub 2, you know, so I think I just want to complete a double marathon to say I completed it. If I did it in 4.5, Jesus, I'd be over the moon. But again, on race day, just so many different factors can come into play. Like, it's just, yeah. But I just want to talk a bit about fueling, okay? So fueling for a long run. So they do say you should be taking in 30 to 60 grams of carbs for every hour of long endurance, okay? Now, I was taking 60 grams per hour. Because there's 30 grams of carbs in one gel. So, you know, I took one at the start, I took 5 altogether. So I was nearly overfueled with carbs. But again, taking them every half hour made sure that my glycogen stores, which is what carbs get converted to, and then we use glycogen as energy. I wanted to top up my stores consistently. So I had the energy in the tank, but the leg muscles were starting to fail, like they were starting to feel like concrete. But that is what you are supposed to do. But if you're only doing about an hour of training, like, I don't think, like, if I was doing a 10k run, like, I probably wouldn't be taking gels. Like, I'd probably take one maybe, and I'd probably take that at the start, so that way when, you know, I start feeling a little bit fatigued, like half an hour in, like, it's a bit of a pick me up. I do have a 10k race Sunday, which is the Fingal 10k. It's part of the Dublin race series. It's in Swords. I do have that, so I am going to race it. Whether I PB or not, I don't know, but it at least would be a bit of a crack, and it's half the distance of a half. But yeah, that's how you're supposed to fuel during endurance training, right? Anything longer than an hour, you need to be taking in 30 to 60 grams of carbs. Now, whether you take a banana, a Squares bar, or a gel, that's up to you. But if you do want to be able to like carry yourself over the finish line, and, you know, word of warning to anybody who doesn't fuel properly and was probably panned out on the deck during that half marathon, make sure you're obviously stopping at water stations as well. And what I did is I brought like a little flask. It's a little rubber one, so when you're finished it, you can roll it up and put it in your pocket. I feel that it holds 250 mils of water, and I put an electrolyte into it that morning, closed the lid and brought it with me in my vest. And then I brought my 5 gels with me too. And when you turn at the halfway point, actually the halfway point, you didn't even turn around at the halfway point, you turned around at 9K. I stopped and I took that, and then I stopped at another two water stations. So I do think that helped, especially in the heat. Like, I went onto my Garmin app after the half marathon, the day after I looked at it. I didn't even know you could actually see this. I seen it from someone's TikTok. If you look at your race stats, you can see approximately how much sweat you would have lost. And I lost 2000 milliliters. So that's 2 liters of sweat. So imagine going into a race with no electrolytes, in the heat, and not stopping at water stations. Like, it's a recipe for disaster. But yeah, I think you should bring something with an electrolyte in it. Stop at the water stations. 30 to 60 grams of carbs per hour is really important. I don't know how people run without like carbs. I like those people who run marathons or half marathons without gels. You know, maybe they might bring a snack with them, which is also the equivalent of taking a gel. But I don't know how people do it without gels. Honest to God, like, I'd be afraid to run a marathon now without them. I don't know whether it's a placebo thing, but yeah, I wouldn't fancy doing it, to be honest. I do think they do help, and I do think it's the reason I got over that finish line smiling. But then, okay, so that's during the race, and then just the morning of the race, and then I'll get to how I feel the day before. The morning of the race, I had my regular oats and a bit of protein powder. Now, they always say don't try anything on race day that you haven't tried before, because the last thing you want is needing to go to the toilet, or you eat something you're not used to eating and, you know, it causes stomach pains or discomfort with digestion and stuff, or makes you feel sluggish. So yeah, I had my normal oats, 70 grams with a scoop of whey protein. And then half an hour before we took off, I had a Squares bar. Half an hour before we did the race, I had a Squares bar. And then at the start line, I took, well, about 10 minutes in, actually, I took a gel. And I had 500 mils. No, sorry, I had 250 mils of water half an hour before we started. Went the loo. Happy days. And obviously, it was the second day of my period. So I was a bit worried about that. I was actually going to wear leggings, you know yourself, girls. But thankfully, I was actually okay. I just went to the loo, changed what I needed to change 20 minutes before the start. And then I was fine until afterwards, thank God. Wore black shorts as well, just in case. But it was fine. And then the day before race day, so the day before, I went back up to maintenance calories. So my maintenance calories are around 1950, okay? Now, the mistake I made fueling for the half marathon, the Dublin City one in March, is I wasn't in a calorie deficit. So like, there was a lot of time when I was doing my long runs, I was basically eating back the calories that I burned, which isn't the smartest thing to do, like, you know, because you will end up overeating some days. But what I was doing in the days leading up to the Dublin half was I was eating more carbohydrates on top of my current food, okay? So say my maintenance calories was 1950, I was eating more food on top of that, when what I should have been doing was actually pulling back on protein and replacing those calories with carbs. So my protein goal is usually 150 and my carb goal is usually around 200. On a training day, okay? And then on a rest day, my carbs are usually around 160. So what I did was I pulled my protein back to 100 grams and then I pushed my carbs up to 300. Now, what they say is if you're carb loading, you should have 3 to 6 grams of carbs per kilo of body weight. Now, I went for 5 grams, okay? Because anything more than that, I thought was just too much. I was afraid it might make me feel sluggish the next day. So 5 grams by 64 kilos was around 320 grams of carbs. So I had about 300, I did. Just FYI, if you are ever fueling, I know some people say 10 grams of carbs per kilo of body weight. So that's nearly like 700 grams of carbs. Like, that's way too much for a full marathon, probably. But a half, like, you don't need that much. And I think I carb loaded 2 days before the last half, and I only did it 1 day before this one. And obviously I was in a calorie deficit as well. Like, again, I do think it impacted my pace a bit, but that is how I carb loaded. So there's 4 calories of 1 gram of protein, there's 4 calories of 1 gram of carb, and there's 9 calories of 1 gram of fat. So the calories left over from taking away 50 grams of protein from my usual 150, I put them towards my carbs. So 50 by 4, I was eating an extra 200 calories of carbs than I usually would. And I still stayed below maintenance. Whereas when I fueled at the last half marathon, I was eating those extra carbs on top of my maintenance calories. So that was a mistake that I made when I didn't need to do that. Look, you can overeat if you want, you know, you can do that. But, you know, if you're consistently doing that, you will start to put on a bit of fluff. And when you are training for a marathon or even a half marathon, or if you're a frequent runner, no, you don't want to always be in a calorie deficit, or you shouldn't be. But I discussed this before on this podcast, that this is only the kind of window where I can go into a calorie deficit, because I don't want to be in one when I'm training for the Dublin Marathon. Absolutely not. Like, you know, I'm going to be doing like beyond 21 kilometers, 25, 30, 34. Like, you don't want to be in a calorie deficit running those, that amount of distance, even if you are eating maintenance on the days of the long run. Like, you need that whole week building up to it of proper food, of proper energy. But between June and August, I thought, right, I have a half marathon. I wasn't in one for March, and I don't want to be in one for the September and the Dublin one. So this is the only window. And, you know, my weight would keep compounding as the months go on. If I'm training and I'm eating, obviously, in a small surplus for marathons, and then for these marathons, and then Christmas then after the October one, it would just keep compounding. The hill would be even bigger that I'd have to climb to get back down to an ideal weight. So I just thought, right, I'll lose about 4 to 5 kilo in this deficit, and I'll maintain that as much as possible now until the Dublin full. But yeah, that's how I feel. So I basically had 50 to 70 grams of carbs per meal. I had 4 meals the day beforehand, and then I had a couple of carby snacks like a banana, a Squares bar. Basically had 100 grams of oats with my breakfast, a little bit of protein powder, had a slice of banana bread, which I'm actually obsessed with at the moment. It's lovely. And I had a coffee then, and then I had a baked potato with a small amount of mint and Dalmio sauce. And then I had chili mints with rice, so more rice than I usually had, 180 grams of rice, loads of carbs in that, loads of carbs in the baked potato, loads of carbs in the banana bread, in the oats. And then I had a banana and a Squares bar. I went to the cinema that evening. Yeah, so that's literally what I had. And then that's how I fueled. So if you are ever doing a half marathon or even a high rocks event where you're going to be doing it for an hour and a half, bring a gel or two with you. Fuel properly the day before and try that trick. Obviously, you need to know what your macros are, what your macro split is. Obviously, I'm trying to maintain muscle, build a little bit, and, you know, burn body fat as well at the same time. So I want my protein to be high to keep me full, but also to maintain muscle. But on the days where I was doing a long run, I was pulling a bit back on protein and increasing my carbs, but still staying in my deficit. That is the sacrifice I had to make. But the most important thing is you're staying in a calorie deficit. No matter what way you split up your macronutrients, as long as you are in a calorie deficit, that is the main thing. However, how you split up your macronutrients is going to dictate how you feel during your calorie deficit. Most of the time, yeah, you obviously want to be eating more protein. But some days when I was doing the long run, you know, maybe a 10 to 12K, if I was doing a 15, 16 or 18, like, I probably would increase my calories a little bit, maybe an extra 200, where, you know, I'm only in a 200 calorie deficit that day rather than a 500 calorie one. It's just needed, you know. But yeah, 30 to 60 grams per hour during the event of carbs. And then, beforehand, 3 to 6 grams of carbs. The day beforehand, 3 to 6 grams of carbs per kilo of body weight. It's up to you, really, but I just went for 5 grams because anything below that I thought was maybe not enough. And then anything above that was like, right, that's too much, you know. And then obviously spacing your meals out is important as well the day beforehand. You don't want to be like, you know, super busy, and then 2 o'clock comes around, you're like, oh my God, like, I've literally only had a small breakfast and I have to fit in like another 280 grams of carbs. Like, that's a lot. It's going to be bad for your digestion. You're going to be eating meals on top of each other. You're not going to feel great, and you probably will feel sluggish the next day. So obviously, you know, have 3 hours even between each meal. It will help. But yeah, so the plan is now is to the September half is in, when is it? It's the 20th. It's mid-September. I think it's mid-September. I think it's the 20th. I think that's a weekend. I think it's a Sunday. I'm not too sure, but it's around that weekend, I'm nearly sure. It's definitely not the last weekend. Anyway, I know that. And then I'm going to sign up for the 3/4 marathon, which is the start of October, around the start of October. I'm going to be doing that distance anyway at that stage while I'm training for the full. So I booked it to basically get a medal at the end anyway, if I'm going to be doing that distance, you know. And it'll be a nice little preview as well for the full marathon. And I would have built up my distance at that stage too, you know. I would have done beyond 24, 25, 26, etc. I think that's about 40 kilometres, the three quarter one. It's in Enfield. I think it's called the Longwood. It's beer races again. I have to say it was very well run as well, the one in Clontarf. It was a lovely route. It was flat and the weather did hold up. But again, just obviously different factors affect different races. The Dublin one was just incline after incline. That was really tough. I found that course very tough, even though I come in 2 minutes quicker. I do think it's because I had someone pace me. There was a pacer in the Clontarf one, a 2 hour one. I do think if I really, really pushed myself, I would have been able to keep up with them, but I wouldn't have been able to stop for water, you know? And I started ahead of the 2 hour pacer. And I didn't even know, I didn't even see it, I didn't even know it was behind me, I thought it was ahead of me. But when I got to the last 5 kilometres, he actually overtook me. He had a little group around him. And I was like, God, I could actually keep up with him if I wanted to, but I'd have to work really, really hard. And then I'd be afraid then, you know, I would start burning out and I'd end up losing him and I'd be at to exert an energy then for something that I just knew wasn't going to be possible in the end. But look, we have another half to look forward to and I will get that sub too, I will, but it is harder than you think. So that pretty much sums it up. I just want to talk a bit about fueling for long runs, endurance events in general. And yeah, and in terms of my ADHD medication, so I started at 30 milligrams today. I know I was speaking to you last week about taking the 20 milligrams and the side effects and stuff. The side effects did start to wear off. Like I did notice, like I did mention that if you drink caffeine like Red Bull or coffee, it does peak, like the medication does peak. So like 2 hours into it, you do notice that your mouth gets a little bit drier, your heart rate does accelerate a little bit. And then if you're, it's a stimulant. So if you're throwing coffee on top of that, that's also a stimulant. I did notice I was extra anxious. Like I found it hard to sit still. Like I have these little tics as well where like I play with my hair a lot or like I bite my nail. Well, I don't bite my nails anymore because I have biab, but like I play with the skin on the edge of my nail. I noticed that increased. If I was drinking coffee on top of taking the medication, I was extra anxious. I just couldn't sit still. You do get a little bit jittery when it peaks and then it does kind of like wear off at around 3 o'clock. You do hit a little bit of a wall. I noticed that initially at the start of the 20 milligram course and then that kind of wore off. So the first few days were, you know, the side effects were more evident. Appetite hasn't been affected. And then some nights I was a little bit restless with sleep, especially if I had drank coffee. But I think I only done that twice in the 2 weeks that I was taking the medication, because on weekends I wouldn't take it because I didn't need to. I wasn't really working, you know, so I didn't want to waste it. But yeah, I started taking the 30 milligrams today. I took it at around 9:30. Like I do notice as I'm recording this podcast, I am talking a little bit quicker. I do feel like it's starting to peak a little bit. But yeah, that's let's see what side effects this brings anyway. But so far so good, and it has helped in terms of focus. Like I find Monday is my busiest morning because I'm trying to set myself up for the week and I have all my to-do lists. And you know, every morning then I'll obviously reply to emails, deal with clients, etc. Have my 8 week challenge started last week. And I don't know if you're on that challenge, but your check-in is this Wednesday, your first check-in. And I have, you know, over 40 people to get through and they're written check-ins. So I will need my focus for that, you know, and I will still take breaks. Like I'll do 10 and then I'll take a 15 minute break and then I'll come back and then I'll do another 10. But before I started taking the medication, like I would find it really hard to sit down and do that many check-ins just because I needed to be focused for so long. Like it does take time to get through. So yeah, hopefully now that will help me. Do you know what I still haven't tried? I actually haven't tried to read a book since I've started taking the medication, because that was something I noticed as well with the ADHD, is that like I'd get halfway through a page and I'd have to keep going back and rereading it because my mind would just keep drifting and it used to really, really annoy me. And then I actually haven't tried to read a book now with the medication. So that's something I might try maybe tomorrow, because I am quite busy now. I don't have time to read a book today. Not a whole book now, but a few pages. And then when it came to watching films as well, like I would find that my mind would drift, but I usually always watch films in the evening, you know, and I'm not going to be taking my, like the medication would wear off at that stage. I'm not going to take it to watch a film in the evening and then not be able to sleep. But yeah, that's one thing I still have to try, to read a book. And I'm interested now to see how I get on with the check-ins on Wednesday, having to sit at a laptop for that long, you know. But yeah, that's pretty much everything. And let's see how I get on now with another week in a deficit. I'll be given 100% this week, obviously, because I won't have a marathon. My menstrual cycle won't be there. And that scale obviously spiked this morning due to just so many factors over the last few days. Menstrual cycle, went out for pizza after the marathon. Obviously, inflammation in my legs due to running 21 kilometers. It should start to drop as the days go on. I'm not going to get upset about it. But yeah, thanks for tuning in. There's some tips if you're ever fueling for a long run, and then obviously the day beforehand as well. And I'll keep you posted on my progress with the deficit and the running. Have a lovely week. And remember, diet doesn't start Monday. This is a lifestyle. I got straight back on track on Sunday after my pizza on Saturday. Okay, so people always say, oh, you know, I've had a meal out, I've ruined my progress. No, you probably went over your calories a little bit, but what's worse, going over your calories a little bit or overeating for the next 2 to 3 days on that weekend just because of one meal out, all right? So this is a lifestyle. Nothing starts on Monday. Just get back on track as soon as possible, okay? Have a great week and smash it.